Good morning and welcome to worship here at Bamber Bridge this morning. Can I invite Graham and Carol to come forward as we do the Lenten Cross liturgy? Thank you.
On our journey through Lent, may these symbols be reminders of the road Jesus took, the road of pain and suffering, the path of self-giving love. May they also remind us of the suffering of the world and challenge us to respond. We have a cross here to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us all. We bring this plate and cup to remind us of the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples when he told them to remember him. The reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. Lord Jesus, help us to remember your love and sacrifice for us each day of our lives. Amen.
Thank you. Briefly, one or two notices this morning. There's no printed notices this morning, for which I apologise. A couple of things that would have been, for those to have seen them, so hopefully a number of people will have seen them online anyway, but just to mention one or two things. Tuesday morning, book club, 10:30 till 12. Thursday this week is craft club in the afternoon, and there is luncheon at the end of the cafe session into the afternoon craft club. So that's Tuesday, that's Thursday. One notice just to say that Easter eggs, there's new stock in the Olive Branch shop at Central Methodist, and they also have cards there. And I think the other items that would have been in the printed notices were probably in last week as well. So hopefully that covers the notices. There will be tea and coffee served at the end of the service this morning. And I think the only other thing is just to apologise. It is a little cool in here this morning. We do have a problem with the central heating system at the moment, which we are hoping will be fixed for by next week. Let's start with prayer, but I just want to start with a few words of reflection. It is so difficult at the moment as we gather together here today in freedom to remember elsewhere in the world that there are others who can't, and it's particularly difficult with the situation in Ukraine. So I just want to start with a few words from Graham Kendrick's song Beauty for Brokenness. Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair, Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear, cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share, peace to the killing fields, scorch earth to green, Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. Lighten our darkness, breathe on this flame, until your justice burns brightly again. Until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you their praise. Lord, in this troubled world, we gather together to worship you, to say our prayers, to listen and hear your word. Amen. And we'd like to welcome Janet to join us this morning and to lead our service. This is our communion service today, so thank you.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning worship and the sharing of Holy Communion. Thank you to everybody who has stepped up to support me in this service, sort of at the last moment. We understand that we have to be flexible in these strange times that we are living in. Our call to worship. On this first Sunday in Lent, we gather. We come to remember and celebrate the good news of Jesus, who came to reveal God's love and who invites us to walk in his way. We come as we are, beloved children, to worship God. So let us come close to God as God comes close to us. We sing our opening hymn, which is in Singing the Faith, number 354, Jesus is the name we honour. Thank you. So let us pray. Jesus is the name we honour, the name we praise, the name we trust. And we come together as his people in his house this morning to glorify him, to lift him up, to give him all of the honour, all the praise, all our gratitude and all our love. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to worship you with joy and with gratitude this morning, for there is so much that we need to say to you. Father, we come to worship you because we love you, and we know that you love us. Your cross stands to remind us of that love. We come to say thank you for all that you have given and for all that you have done. Father, we come to say that we are sorry for things that we have done and said that we know we should not have done and said. And so we come to ask for your forgiveness. We come before you with the things that are worrying us. And Father, we ask that through your grace and mercy, you will show us what to do. And we come with our prayers for the people who need your love and blessing and strength today. And especially with our prayers for the people of Ukraine and Russia. We come with our prayers for the people that we love, our families, our friends, our neighbours, for the people who would normally be sitting alongside us in church, but for so many reasons are not able to be with us. But most of all, Lord, we have come to worship you. We bring you ourselves. We bring you our lives, and we ask that you will meet with us now and be with us always. For we ask our prayers in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. This morning we're going to be thinking about choices. The choices that we make in life. I'm going to give you some choices to make this morning, just to get you in the right frame of mind. You can join in at the back here. I'm afraid I don't know anybody's name here, but the children at the back can join in this bit as well. The first choice I want you to make is ice cream. Would you choose chocolate or would you choose strawberry? Put your hand up if you're a chocolate ice cream person. And put your hand up if you're a strawberry ice cream person. That's about equal. Oh no, you've got to choose. What about potatoes? Do you prefer mashed potatoes or chips? Who prefers mashed potato? It's a comfort food, isn't it? I like mashed potato. And who prefers chips? Bamber Bridge is more a mashed potato kind of a church family. What about what you like to drink? If you've got 2 bottles of Coca-Cola, now you're not allowed to say you don't drink Coca-Cola. Are you a Pepsi person or are you a Coke person? Because most people prefer one to the other. Who likes Pepsi best? We're a minority, us Pepsi fans. Because most people, who would choose the Coca-Cola, the Coke, the real thing? Yeah, we're a bit weird, us Pepsi lovers, but it's much nicer. Animals, pets. Would you choose to have a dog or a cat? Who would choose a dog? And who would choose a cat? It's about equal as well. You do tend to find that most people are either a cat person or a dog person. Not many people like them both equally. Now, sometimes when I ask you to choose strawberry or chocolate, when I ask you to choose tea or coffee, when I ask you to choose mashed potato or chips, it's quite easy to choose because you know what you like the best. You know what your favourite things are, and you know the things that you're not really keen on. So those are easy choices to make. Sometimes the answer is, well, I like them both. And then it becomes a bit harder to choose. Or sometimes the answer is, I don't like either of them. And then it becomes hard to choose as well. Generally speaking, in life, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter whether I have strawberry ice cream or chocolate ice cream when I get home from church today. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect anybody else. It's just down to me. But sometimes making a choice can be really hard, can't it? Because the thing that we want isn't the right thing for us or for other people. If I said to you, you have to choose whether you're going to watch your favourite television programme or do your homework, that's a bit harder to choose between, isn't it? Because you know what you want to do and you know what you should do. Watch the telly or weed the garden. Play on the computer or tidy a bedroom when your parent tells you to. It's harder to choose then, isn't it? Because a bit of you thinks, well, I want to watch the telly. I want to play on the computer. But I know that I really should do what mum or dad is telling me to do. You know what you want to do, but you also know what's not always the right thing to choose. And sometimes it gets even harder than that. If your friends are being horrible to somebody at school, calling somebody names or picking on them, do you join in? Or do you walk away and not join in? If you've got the chance to cheat in a test or an exam, do you take the chance and cheat? Or do you do the right thing? Do you choose to do the right thing? If you've got the chance to steal something from a shop, do you choose to take that thing? Or do you choose to say, no, I'm going to do what I know is right? Should we do what other people tell us to do? Or should we choose to do what we know is right? And sometimes it's really hard to make that right choice in life. And today's Bible story is all about Jesus having to choose what was the right thing for him to do. And I'm sure that Jesus found it just as hard to make the right choices as we do. But in the end, he chose to do what he knew God wanted him to do. He chose to do what God had said was right. And throughout Lent, we ask Jesus to help us to do the same, to help us to make the right choices in life. Help us to put God first and to always try to do what God tells us is the right way to do things. We try to put Jesus first. We try to put God first in every choice that we make in life. We're going to sing number 6 in Singing the Faith. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. And we sing this hoping and praying that our lives and the way that we live, the choices that we make, will glorify God's name in all the earth. Thank you. Hear our gospel reading for the morning. Thank you.
Gospel reading this morning is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, headed Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thank you. I want us to develop our thinking a little bit more about the choices that we make in life. I want you to think about some of the choices that you have had to make in your life up until today. In fact, you've already made a lot of choices this morning without even giving them a second thought. When you woke up, you had to choose, am I going to get out of bed or am I going to have a lie in this morning? Am I going to go to church this morning or am I going to have a sneaky morning off? Well, you all chose to come, didn't you? But you could have chosen not to. Should I have breakfast before I go out or not? Should I have tea or coffee, cereal or toast or both or neither? What should I wear? If you'd known the heating wasn't going to work, you would have thought, I'd better choose something warm to wear this morning. Which shoes should I wear? Which bag should I take? When I get there, where am I going to sit? Who am I going to sit next to? Everyday choices that we all make all the time without really giving them very much thought or consideration. But of course, we have all made bigger choices in our lives. Choices about education and work, about our health, about our friendships, about our relationships. Choices about where to live and how to live. And I want you to think to yourself for a moment. I wonder what would have happened if... I wonder what would have happened if I had made a different choice at that point in my life. How different might your life have been if you had chosen this instead of that, however many years ago? I'm going to give you an example from my own life. When I was 18 years old, I was choosing which university I should go to. And I had a straight choice. I could choose between Loughborough University or Aberystwyth University, because they were the only two places that offered the course I wanted to do. Well, that's not strictly true, actually. I could also have gone to Belfast, but my parents were fairly adamant that I wasn't going to go and live in Belfast in the 1980s, and I'm sure you understand why. So I was left with the choice of Loughborough or Aberystwyth. Now, we didn't have a car in the family at the time, so I had to go to university, whichever one I chose, by public transport. And the journey from Newcastle to Aberystwyth was going to take about 8 hours and about 5 changes of train back at the time. I didn't really fancy that several times a year with all my worldly goods, so that made the choice for me. I chose to go to Loughborough. If I hadn't gone to Loughborough, how different would my life have been? Well, it was at Loughborough that I met Barry, who I subsequently married, and so going to Loughborough set the course for my marriage. And then if I hadn't married Barry, I wouldn't have had the children that I've got. We probably would have lived in a different place. I may never have gone to the Methodist Church. I would never have become a minister. You see how that choice, just because of the trains from Newcastle to Aberystwyth, has set me on a course through life. What else might have been different if I'd gone to Aberystwyth? I might have learned to speak Welsh. But what else would have been different? I don't know. And I'll never know. And you will never know what life would have been like if you'd made a different choice at that point in your life. If you hadn't gone to that party, if you hadn't gone to that meeting, if you hadn't gone to that church service, if you hadn't applied for that job or bought that house or gone on that holiday, whatever choice was that you made. Those chance decisions that we make those choices that we make, and we make them for very good reasons, but they can change the course of our lives. And more importantly, those choices that we make can have an effect on the lives of other people too. We carry responsibility for the well-being of other people. People that we love, people that we don't even know, their lives are impacted by the choices that we are making. And if that's true for each one of us, how much more true was it for Jesus? The choices that he made during his lifetime, but especially during those 40 days in the wilderness, had consequences for the entire human race and for all eternity. The choices that Jesus had to make. He had just been baptized in the River Jordan. He had heard the very voice of God say to him, "You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you." So Jesus knew that God's favor was resting upon him in a way that it never had before. Jesus knew that he was the chosen one. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world. And then he had to decide, how was he going to live out his life with that knowledge? What kind of Messiah would he be? What kind of king was he going to be? How is Jesus going to fulfill his destiny? And he's tempted with three choices: to turn stones into bread, to throw himself off the highest tower in the temple, or to bow down and worship Satan. And have no doubt, Jesus could have chosen to do any of those things. He could have chosen to turn the stones into bread. But if he had done it, he would have been denying his humanity. He would have been making himself different from those of us who feel hunger and pain and suffering. And if Jesus was going to save us all, he had to do it as a human being. He had to do it as a man, because he had to live like we do and struggle with the things of life like we do. He had to experience hunger and thirst and pain and sorrow. If Jesus had chosen to turn the stones into bread because he was hungry, then he was not experiencing life as a human being. And yes, he could have thrown himself off the top of the temple and tested the word of God. Would angels have come and caught him, as the Bible promised? Who knows? That wasn't the time to put it to the test. Jesus had so much to do. He had a kingdom to establish. He had a movement to begin. And a spectacular miracle like that might have made him popular there and then. But it wouldn't have made him someone that would draw all people to him for all time. It wouldn't have made him someone for us to love, someone for us to follow, someone for us to give our lives to 2,000 years later. And yes, he could have bowed down and worshipped Satan and been given all the kingdoms of the world to rule over. And isn't this a particularly relevant story for us today? We only need to switch on the television news to see what happens to people who desire to rule over the kingdoms of this world. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people are killed or injured or displaced by someone's desire to rule over the kingdoms of this world. The human cost is terrible. A desire to rule over the kingdoms of this world always leads to suffering, always leads to bloodshed. And while those people who have that wish to rule over the kingdoms of this world may have their followers and they may have their admirers, it is not the way of the King of Kings. It is not the way of the Prince of Peace. And it is not the way of the Son of the Most High God. Jesus did not choose the easy way, the way of the world. Jesus chose the way of the cross. He chose to walk in the light and to walk in the way of obedience to God, even though the personal cost to him was enormous. Jesus was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And that is why God has exalted him. That is why Jesus is the name we honour, the name we trust, the name we glorify. That is why we come to Jesus today with thankful hearts and together obey his last command to eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of him. We come to thank God that Jesus obediently walked in the way of the cross, that he chose to take that way. And we come to pray that we too might have the wisdom and the courage to walk that way with him, wherever that might take us. I'm reminded of the words of that hymn that we used to sing in Sunday school years ago. Holy Spirit, help us daily by thy might, what is wrong to conquer and to choose the right. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to just take a time of prayer now where we can bring to God the things that are on our hearts and minds. Let us pray. Lord God, as we look ahead at these days of Lent, there is much that we need to bring before you. Lord, we want to pray for Ukraine and Russia. We want to pray for peace, for freedom, for justice. We pray for those who are bereaved, for the injured, for those countless refugees, for those who are fighting against their will. We pray for the leaders of all of the nations as they become involved in the dispute. And we pray for the leaders of this, our own country. And Lord, we pray that they might have wisdom to discern the right choices to make. May they be aware that their decisions will impact on so many lives. Lord, we pray for those who are on our minds this morning, our loved ones, friends, neighbours and family, thinking especially of those who are unwell, in hospital, at home. And Lord, we pray for ourselves that you will grant each one of us the wisdom and the courage to make good choices as we walk with Jesus in obedience and in your light. Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and in your mercy, answer. Amen. We prepare to share in Holy Communion, and all are welcome to receive the bread and the wine as we sing our communion hymn, which is number 238, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us, O'er the World's Tempestuous Sea. Thank you. Hoping that the words of the communion will be on the screen, and I invite you all to join in anything that is printed in yellow. Thank you. Dear friends, we are going to Jerusalem with Jesus. He is our pardon, our healing, and our peace. We will suffer the trial with him, resisting evil. With him we will walk the path to life. But come first to the table, where there is food for the journey. With hearts full of joy we come, giving thanks to God our Maker, and offering our praise. We are right to praise you, faithful God. You answer sin with grace and guide our wayward steps toward home. You are healing for the broken, safety for the poor, strength for the weak, and pardon for the sinner. All your creatures see your works. They sing your steadfast love. We too declare your wonder and grace. As with saints and angels, we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, O God, we remember Jesus. He fasted and prayed. He was tempted and tried. He was obedient to you and abused by the powers of this world. He was betrayed and deserted. He died between thieves and was buried in a borrowed grave. You gave him new life. He lives even now, our healer and friend. He loved us well, loved us to the end, and loves us still. Even on the night of betrayal, he ate supper with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In obedience to his holy command, in the same way he took the cup, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." In obedience to his holy command, we remember his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and we look for his coming in glory. Holy Spirit, come, make all things new. Bless this bread which you have given and human hands have made. Let it become for us the bread of life. Bless also this cup, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. Let it become for us the cup of salvation. Bless us also who eat and drink, that in this sharing we may know the living Christ, who is with us now and to the end of the age. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. The cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Christ is the true vine. We say together, Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and grace. for peace the world cannot give, and for joy in the company of friends. Give us the gifts of this holy communion, unity of hearts, love for neighbours, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and life that never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 483 in Singing the Faith. We are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power of God. Number 483. Thank you. Father, we pray that everything that we have offered to you this morning, whether it be our gifts of money, our hearts' worship, or the dedication of our lives to you afresh, that you will accept and be pleased with all that we have brought to you in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray that you will enfold us in your tender and lasting love, that Christ might be beside us in times of struggle, and that your Holy Spirit might guide us wherever we go. We go in peace to walk in your light, to live in your love, and to move in your power. Amen.